That's my script. Thank you. She has a view over there.
Got it.
Thank you. Good morning. I understand from the committee that what you wanted was some explanation of what the TARP program is and what Iowa banks are affected and doing with it. So, first of all, TARP, the Troubled Asset Recovery Plan and Capital Purchase Plan, those are the primary program. The TARP is the overall program, and the Capital Purchase Program is the primary method that the Treasury is using to inject capital into banks. It's a federal program. It's administered by the U.S. Treasury. And the federal banking regulators, that would be the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, the Office of Thrift Supervision, the Federal Reserve, and the FDIC, will be the ones that will monitor the banks that receive the funds for compliance with new lending and loan modification rules, along with executive compensation restrictions. The CPP is designed to be used by banks to increase their capital base so that they can increase lending. This plan is not a gift to the banks. In fact, the banks participating in the capital purchase program will produce a significant amount of income for the Treasury in addition to repaying the entire investment that the Treasury makes in these banks. So far, 51 Iowa banking organizations applied for the TARP Capital Purchase Program, and most of those institutions are still waiting to find out if they've been approved. Several banks which have been approved have declined to take the money, and they decided not to take the money because of the cost of the program, and they felt that they had a lack of opportunity to generate the new loans and deposits that were required in order to comply with the provisions of the program. Right now, there are very few businesses trying to expand, and most people are pretty concerned about the future. Iowans are generally financially responsible, so in times like these, they're reluctant to contract for a lot more debt. In the immortal words of Yogi Berra, if people don't want to come to the ballpark, nobody's going to stop them. On the back of your page, you can see the bank ratios and data. And from that, you can tell that Iowa banks have strong capital. And these strong capital positions reduce the need for participation in the capital purchase program. A well-capitalized bank will probably see a decline in its earnings during the first year that it has TARP money because it will be difficult to increase its loan and deposit volumes enough to offset the cost of the new capital. It's difficult for bankers to decide to take TARP money when they know it will hurt their current earnings and they will be subject to more regulatory burden. Bankers must believe that there's an opportunity to make good loans by leveraging the new capital in order to participate in the capital purchase program. Iowa State Chartered Banks increased their loans by 6.94%, more than $2 billion in 2008. In 2007, loans increased by 3.9% from the previous year. And the banks generated much more than $2 billion in new loans during 2008 because there were significant paydowns of existing loans during that year. The banks more than doubled the amount they provided for loan losses during 2008. They made provisions of $186 million. 94% of Iowa State Chartered Banks were profitable last year. Now, profitability is important for a bank because profits add to capital, and they provide the cushion against future losses. Most of the banks which lost money had significant exposure to commercial real estate and development lending, and as that slowed down, losses were incurred. Banks in growing markets have opportunities to acquire deposits and make loans. And these banks may be able to use the TARP Capital Purchase Program funds. Banks in stagnant or shrinking markets will not be likely to participate in the program. The banks which participate in the program will not see an immediate improvement in their earnings. It will take time to generate the new loans and deposits required to produce a profit. Those are my prepared remarks, but I'd be happy to answer questions.
Thank you. Representative Swain.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Stanford, for coming. I appreciate the statistics that you provided showing that Iowa banks have strong capital, and I think that's a great reflection on our banks and on Iowa. Can you comment on what percentage of our banks are experiencing financial difficulties?
Well, we have currently we have 319 state chartered banks, and all but 15 of them have component CAMELS ratings, which is the overall rating we use, in the top two categories. We have 15 that are rated either 3 or 4 on a scale of 1 to 5. And all 15 of those banks are subject to additional scrutiny by us and our federal counterparts. And at this point, it appears to me that they'll all be able to work through their problems.
Thank you. And on the other side of the scale, we realize that the balance approach that we have, that system and state want to provide the availability of credit, but we want to do it prudently, and we appreciate your service in doing that. On the other hand, how about the availability of credit to businesses, to consumers, to farmers? Can you speak to that?
Well, so far, I think the banks have done quite a good job of providing credit. The overall loan-to-deposit ratio for the state banks was 89% at the end of the year. I think what we can say is that both lenders and borrowers are more cautious about debt today than they were in previous years. And so we see both a shrinking in demand for loans and a more cautious approach to lending by the lenders. But the biggest decline in credit availability is not bank credit, it's credit from non-bank sources. And I think that's where the main reduction in credit has occurred in the country.
Thank you. In the big picture, how much of the credit in the state is provided by commercial banks?
I can't give you an exact percentage. I don't really have a good composite of all the credit because I really only pay significant attention to the state chartered banks, and we have a number of large national banks and federal thrifts that operate in the state, and it's difficult for me to break that out. But Iowa probably has a higher percentage of credit extended by commercial banks than the nation as a whole.
I noticed in some prepared remarks that you mentioned that 7% of small businesses reported problems in obtaining financing they desired, according to a December survey of the National Federation of Independent Businesses. Now, was that nationally, or was that an extra statistic?
Actually, I think that is in Mr. Stanberry's...
I'm sorry to miss you. Do you have any figures? I'm looking for the consumers. Are there any statistics in terms of the availability of credit to consumers?
I'm sure there are. I don't have any on the top of my head. I think what we see is that a lot of the credit that consumers relied on to purchase cars and other durable goods that was provided by manufacturers' captive finance companies has dried up. And those captive finance companies like GMAC, Ford Motor Credit, those sorts of entities had loan rates that were essentially subsidized by their parent company in order to help sell the product. Well, banks don't have that opportunity, so they have to charge a more realistic interest rate. And so I think people are kind of shocked that perhaps a 1 or 2% car loan isn't available to them anymore. And so they think that credit isn't available. Credit is available, but when the banks lend the money, they have to charge more than they're paying for it on the deposit side.
I'm supposed to get a snowstorm tomorrow, but farmers are already thinking about planting. How about the availability of credit for the farming sector?
The ag banks and the farm borrowers are probably in as good a condition as they've ever been. I wouldn't foresee any kind of shortage of credit available to ag producers this year.
You mentioned I think there were some comments or somewhere about the restrictions on executive compensation. Can you speak to the restrictions on executive compensation within the park program?
Not all the details are out yet. But there are the basic detail is that executive compensation will be limited to $500,000 for the top 15 people in any banking organization, I believe. And in some of the larger ones, that goes farther down. I can tell you that for most Iowa state chartered banks, the top 15 people in the bank don't collectively make $500,000.
What is the breakdown in our state chartered banks between private banks and publicly held?
The privately held would be probably around 65-70% of the banks. It might be higher than that. There's a kind of a gray area. There's some publicly held banks that are very thinly traded, so they kind of fall in the middle. But there's only a dozen or so that are really listed.
Including the ones that are actually listed, I think there's only seven.
Okay. So
I think that there has been some difficulty in terms of raising capital, and that would be the reason why some banks are participating in this program. Am I correct, or am I misassuming?
Well, it's certainly much more difficult for banks to borrow money, just like it is for any other business today. Typically, when banks need a capital injection so that they can expand, especially the closely held banks will go to another bank and borrow money to do that. Another method is to sell stock, sell additional stock. Well, selling stock in banks right now is sort of difficult. Nobody really wants to buy stock in banks right now. And banks, lenders to banks have also become a little more cautious as far as extending credit. So this capital purchase program by the Treasury is seen as a good opportunity for banks that that can expand to use that money to bolster their capital.
What is the cost of credit for participating in the TARP program?
The preferred stock carries there's two series of preferred stock for the privately held banks. The majority of it carries a 5% dividend, and 5% of the total amount carries a 9% dividend. So that works out to about 5.2%. But that dividend is not tax deductible to the bank. So on an after-tax basis, it would probably compare to a loan rate in the range of 7.75% to 8%. In addition to that, there's going to be significant compliance costs involved with a significant amount more reporting and other activity that's going to have to be done.
And maybe address this. In terms of the consumer loans in the state, how much or what percentage of the consumer loans do the state charter banks provide?
I can't tell you the overall percentage, but it would be significantly lower than the captive finance companies of the manufacturing companies. The banks have been pretty much displaced by the non-bank lenders because of all of the securitization and the ability of these captive finance companies to offer subsidized rates.
How about the residential loans? What percentage of the residential loans are provided by the state charter banks?
Overall, state charter banks probably have on their books somewhere in the neighborhood of 15% of the residential loans. But they originate a lot of the loans that then are sold into the secondary market. And almost all of those loans that have been originated by Iowa banks are of the prime loan category.
How about the farm loans, operating loans? What percentage do the state charter bank provide the farm operating loans?
It would be substantial. The primary competitor for the state chartered banks would be the Farm Credit System and the suppliers, the ag suppliers. But I would guess it would be more than half.
How about small businesses? What percentage of the small business loans do state chartered banks?
It would be a substantial portion of the small business loans.
Thank you very much.
Representative Butler?
Well, thank you, Madam Chairman. And most of my questions were answered, especially the bonus. One question. Has all the Wall Street money dried up for banks to go to the half?
You mean their ability to
borrow from Wall Street?
Well, I would say that it's very difficult to get credit from any of the investment banking organizations right now. I wouldn't say that it's impossible, but it's difficult and expensive.
Expensive like how? How much expensive?
I would think that, well, I know that Bank of America is paying a double-digit interest rate to the Saudis for capital money. So I would guess that they wouldn't charge any less than that.
Double-digit is in
10 or more. It's probably, I think it's around 12. Well, the banks in Iowa are all certainly safe to have your money in. In addition to the fact that they're safe and sound, every depositor's insured up to $250,000. So the vast majority of Iowans don't have anywhere close to $250,000 in any one bank. So I would say that people don't have to be concerned about their deposits.
My second question, financial literacy is a word everybody uses now, but we have heard that word for years. The bank, things have changed now. Some people blame things on the bank, some people blame things on the people who come in and work with the banks. Financial literacy, is that a word? How is the bank going to deal with the knowledgeable person coming in, knowing that he or she cannot afford this loan, knowing you want to be hiring people who want to work with these people, instead of taking advantage of it? What's your thoughts regarding financial literacy after all this financial crash has happened? Where do banks go in regards to financial literacy? I know you're not a counseling agency, but people do come in and ask for help. Your thoughts on financial literacy?
Well, as far as the banks are concerned, most of the banks work in their communities to try to improve the understanding of finance. They work in their school systems and with other organizations. The community banks in Iowa, which are virtually all the state chartered banks, are interested in long-term relationships with customers. So they try not to make loans that the customers can't repay. They don't want to have a customer not able to repay their loan. So I think you can expect when a customer goes into a bank that the lender is going to try to provide them with a loan that's going to work for them. Well, I'm really good at predicting the future.
Write this down.
We're glad to hear that.
I think we're in for, as a country, a pretty long slog through this thing. And I don't know if it's going to be a year or 2 years or 3 years. I do think that as you compare Iowa to the states around us and the rest of the states in the nation, is probably as well positioned to deal with it as anyone. If layoffs continue to increase, if crop prices decline, if people just hunker down and remain in a fearful state that they don't want to do anything, it's going to take us a long time to turn this thing around.
Thank you. So I want to pick up on those strands that Senator Quirky had. And so because people are in this I'm trying to think how to phrase this in the best way. Small businesses may be having cash flow problems. Are they going to come to you? Do you see an increase in that? You mentioned the auto loan industry has kind of changed right now, and so people aren't buying new cars. Student loans, do you see an increase in that? You know, consumers probably aren't buying new homes right now, so I assume there's a decline in that. But how do you see all of these? Increase, decrease, the same? And where, you know, students are going to continue to go to school, so are you seeing an increase in student loans?
I expect that student loans will be one of the places where we'll see increases. Student loans are relatively small loans, so it takes a lot of them to add up to a significant number on any bank's books. I think at some point the mood will change and people will start buying things again. I just don't know when that's going to be. But I think everybody is concerned, and they're concerned about whether or not they're going to have a job next month. They're concerned about things generally. And so until that mood changes, it's not likely that they're going to commit to another monthly payment or an increase in their monthly payment. And I would guess that the main activity we'll see in residential real estate finance will be refinance to lower the payments.
And for small businesses, and I'm thinking probably in particular retail, but are you seeing more businesses coming in with problems with cash flow and wanting a credit line so they can pay the employees that they do have?
Well, fortunately, I don't work in the bank every day, so I don't have to watch that, but I suspect that that is the case. If you just look at the sales numbers that are being reported by the big stores, you have to believe that the smaller stores are experiencing some of the same problems, and that's gonna mean that they're gonna have cash flow problems.
And I think that's what our concern is. Some of those Main Street businesses are maybe just hanging on, and what alternatives do they have? And I thought that some of this money might go, if they came into a bank, they'd be eligible for some assistance. Is that right?
I would expect, you know, we have close to 400 banks in this state. When you take all of the Iowa State Chartered, the Nationals, the Federal Savings Banks, and the state chartered banks that are from other states that operate here, I would expect that any business owner that has a viable chance of repayment of a loan should be able to get credit. Now, they might not get it from the first institution they ask, I don't know. But, you know, there's hardly anybody in the state that doesn't live within 10 miles of two or three bank offices. So it seems to me that if they have a good chance of repayment, that they ought to be able to convince a lender to make a loan.
And just to clarify too, when you say 400 banks, that would include like a bank and all of its branches, is that correct?
No, 400 different charters. There's over 1,600 bank offices in the state.
I think you just have one. Good morning. I'm Tom Stanberry, the chairman and CEO of West Bank, which is an Iowa State bank headquartered in West Des Moines, Iowa. I currently also have the privilege of being the chair of the Iowa Bankers Association, which is why I think you have one bank here today instead of a collection of us. I have prepared testimony that has been distributed. The superintendent did a very good job of covering some of the aspects of the Troubled Asset Relief Program and the Capital Purchase Program, so I'm going to skip part of the prepared testimony and just really kind of jump around in it a little bit. But what I want to talk to you about today is that from a banker's perspective, I believe there are several elements that are going to be involved in our recovery from the economic recession that the country's in right now. Government assistance is clearly going to be needed, and the primary source of that government assistance is going to have to come from the federal government, and that's going to be used to jumpstart the economy. The ultimate recovery is going to come from the private sector, and it's going to come from private banks and private businesses that will generate employment and generate property taxes and get the economy back on its feet. The fundamental concepts that I think we have to focus on from an economic recovery standpoint are actually very simple. We have to restore consumer confidence and get people to believe in the economy of the United States and believe that we do have a robust economy once it gets back up and running. We have to find a way to restore about $3.6 million of jobs that have been lost in the last 13 months in the U.S. economy and put those people back to work in some fashion. And finally, we have to have a healthy financial services system in the country that includes banks and other providers of financial services. Commercial banks play a key role in the nation's financial system. Most of you think as a bank as someplace that you can put a deposit, and in today's world, that deposit will be insured up to $250,000 through the FDIC. There actually are ways in which we can insure almost an unlimited amount of deposits through other vehicles that we use in banks today and provide FDIC insurance. Secondly, you look at banks as a source of capital. You look at banks as a source of lending for everything from consumers to students to small businesses to some of our largest commercial businesses in the state. And finally, there's an aspect of banking that most people, I think, tend to ignore, and that is we facilitate the payment system in the United States. We facilitate the free flow of capital from one person to another. We facilitate the use of your credit cards and your debit cards. We allow businesses to use their accounts receivable in advance of collection to borrow money to pay off their accounts payable. So the free flow of the payment systems is probably the most important aspect that banks play in making sure that the capital system works. The next couple paragraphs of my testimony really talk about the Troubled Asset Recovery Program. And as I said, the superintendent described that in detail, so let's skip over that. In the first paragraph on page 2, I talk about the economy. There is a report that's out of the National Federation of Independent Businesses that at year-end said that only 7% of small businesses seeking loans had been turned down. And that's in the midst of one of the worst recessions this country has seen since pre-World War II. One of the reasons we think that is the case is because of banks that received capital purchase money in the fourth quarter, starting early in the fourth quarter, running all the way up to December 31st, that helped them make additional loans. If you look at the statistics for banks nationwide, and Tom talked to you about the banks in Iowa, but the statistics for banks nationwide, there actually was 1% growth in lending in 2008, and again, now that we have admitted that we're in a recession, most of the economists in the state tell you that we've been in a recession since December of 2007. So in the midst of a 12-month-long recession, lending actually increased. One of the misconceptions that has been generated about the TARP monies and about the capital purchase monies is that it's sitting idle in banks. The capital purchase money was designed to be a component of the overall TARP program. It was designed to be injected only into healthy banks. The scrutiny process that we had to go through to receive that money was a process that involved all of our federal and state regulators, very much like an examination. And if you passed muster in that examination process, your application was approved. Of the 8,400 banks in the country, right now we only have about 359 banks that have actually been approved. 51 of those banks are in Iowa. A number of the Iowa banks that have been approved have now turned down the CPP money, principally for the cost. And I want to talk about the cost and use my own bank as an example of the cost of this money. There is a 5% dividend that's required to be paid on the amount of capital purchase money that you receive. As the superintendent indicated, that's not a tax-deductible dividend, so that translates into an 8% cost to us. I have an example in here of our bank and what it would take for us to offset that $36 million of capital purchase money that we received and the dividend that we paid. So let me give you a little background on our bank. We're a $1.6 billion bank headquartered in West Des Moines. We have 11 offices, two in Iowa City, one in Coralville, and the remaining offices are in the Des Moines metro area. At the end of 2007, our total loans were approximately $985 million. And at the end of 2008, our total loans were approximately $1,101 million. We're a publicly traded bank, and so I can't go into a lot of detail about information that's not already out in the public sector, but I can tell you that two things. In 2008, for every $1 increase in loans that we had to make approximately $5 of new loans because people pay off loans. And as loans were paid off, that 5-to-1 ratio allowed us to generate about $100 million of new loans in 2008. Since the beginning of the year, our loan portfolio has increased about $25 million. So if that 5-to-1 ratio continues to hold, we've generated about $100 to $125 million of new loans in the first month, and we've had roughly $100 million pay off in the first month. So we have been actively lending money. We took our $36 million of capital purchase money and put it into capital in the bank. We pay a 5% dividend on that, so we pay $1.8 million per year in dividends. And let's go through the math just to demonstrate why lending is going to be very essential for us in order to pay that dividend. If we just wanted to make enough income that we offset the $1.8 million, we would have to generate about $2.8 million of pre-tax money. And as the last paragraph on page 2 tells you, that means we have to lend out about $85 million at our current rate of lending, current interest rate. We look at lending as the difference between our cost of funds and how much we can lend the money. Banks talk about that as their net interest margin. So at our current net interest margin, we'd have to generate about $85 million. Now, the real, I think, key component of what a bank has to do that receives capital purchase money, though, is achieve its return on equity. And all banks look at the capital that they have and try to determine how much money they're going to receive in return on that capital that they have invested. If we took our average return on equity for about the last 5 years and applied that same mathematical formula, we would have to generate about $159 million of new loans in 2009 to generate enough revenue off of the $36 million of federal money to hit our return on equity. What's happening right now in Iowa and what's happening across the nation, less so in Iowa, is that loan demand is down. Iowa is really very fragmented between its rural and urban economy, and much so the banks are fragmented between rural and urban banks. And in the urban part of the state, demand by both consumers as well as businesses is down. And if you move out into the rural part of the state and take agricultural out of the mix, demand by both consumers and businesses is also down. So what we're facing this year is a need to generate new loans in order to pay for the capital purchase money in an economy where, as the superintendent indicated, people are very cautious about committing new dollars, both as a consumer as well as a small business. We are seeing a lot of our small business customers continue to come to us for loans, and we continue to approve those loans, and we see a lot of consumers continue to come to us for loans, and we continue to approve those loans. But we're not seeing a lot of growth, and we're not seeing a lot of new demand outside of our core customers. Last thing I want to close on, and then be happy to answer all the questions that you have, is the second misperception, I think, about the capital purchase plan component of TARP is that it's kind of a giveaway program or it's going to cause a drain on the federal treasury. If you go back to where I started in my testimony, the CPP money was designed and was allocated to healthy banks, banks that had good CAMELS rating, banks that were profitable banks, and banks that could put the money into circulation in lending. If you look at the dividend that we pay to the Treasury, which for a public bank like mine is 5%, and as Tom indicated, for some of the privately held banks, averages about 5.2%. And add to that that the public banks were required to give the Treasury warrants for our common stock. In our case, it was about 480,000 shares of common stock that are now in the hands of the federal government and could be freely traded if they wanted to trade them. The return to the federal government by those banks will be somewhere between $72 and $78 billion. I get lost in my billions, millions, and trillions, but $72 to $78 billion of return on this. So this is not a giveaway program. This is a program that will generate money for the federal government. And at the same time it's generating money for the federal government and we're lending that money out, we're supporting the economy in a fashion that is generating property taxes, payroll taxes, allowing people to continue living and allowing people to continue earning their wages and keeping them off of that role of the 3.6 million of unemployed people at this point. I've included some remarks about the new financial stability plan that came out yesterday. We're still learning details of that. I was reading more about it the first thing this morning, and details continue to trickle out. For a bank like ours, it's unlikely that we'll see much of that because most of that is going to be focused more on troubled assets, and most of that will be focused on some of the larger banks with a little different composition than ours. But I will end there and be happy to answer any of your questions.